And giving us a time where we can come aside on a Wednesday evening and open up His Word and God speak to our heart on this precious doctrine of the blood of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, I want to read verses 11, 12, and 13, and we'll be taking our thoughts from the latter part of verse number 13. But the Bible says in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the blood. I thought about singing that song tonight. We did sing that there's power in the blood. I thought about singing that song. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. I'll tell you, when I began to think about how God has taken that red blood and washed this old black sinner and made it white as snow, praise God, I'll tell you, that almost puts some shout in me. It almost puts some giddy up in my feet. Hallelujah. Makes me just want to give glory and praise and honor to God to know that my sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Duckett, thank God, I'm glad there'll never be a time when I'll stand in the presence of God and give an account of one sin that I ever committed. Because on that cross, Jesus took care of the sin problem. You say, "Well, preacher, what's that that judgment seat of Christ all about? It's not about being judged for our sin. If you ever make it to the judgment seat of Christ, you know that your sins have been judged at Calvary. Under the blood, your sins are under the blood. And the judgment seat is about our responsibilities and our work and our response to the Holy Ghost of God in this life after we're saved by God's grace. So I'm glad tonight that my sins are under the blood. Now, last Wednesday night, I told you that the blood of Jesus Christ is the basis of redemption. 1 Peter 1:18, 19. I love these two verses. I've almost got them memorized, but I just want to read them to you right out of the Bible. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Hallelujah. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, for the last couple of months, my wife and I, in our Bible reading from the book of Leviticus and Numbers, we've been reading about the sacrifices that was made and how that those animals had to be pure, how they had to be clean, they had to be without spot. Those animals that, beloved, were offered as a sacrifice had to be without blemish and without spot. And I'm glad when old John, out there on the banks of the River Jordan, as he was baptizing out there in John chapter 1 and verse number 29, he sees Jesus coming down the bank of the River Jordan. And John looks up and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John saw him as God's perfect Lamb, without spot and without blemish. I'm glad, thank God, there was no spot in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no blemish in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no sin in Him. Not ever, ever, ever was there any sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God's perfect Lamb for our sacrifice. Here's the concept of redemption. We were all born in the slave market of sin. Every one of us. Listen, none of us in this building, no Christian that's ever been saved by the grace of God has any right to look down their nose at anybody and feel like we're better than anybody else. Listen, my friend, all we are is sinners that are saved by the marvelous grace of God. Oh, listen, the only difference in me and that man or that woman out there still in sin is that my sins have been forgiven and they're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight, beloved, that Jesus wasn't born in the slave market of sin. He was born outside that slave market of sin. That's why it's so important that we believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I know there are people who say, well, it doesn't make any difference. And one of the things I have with some of the modern translations of the Bible is that they take away that word virgin and put in there young woman. And my dear friend, I want to say to you, it wasn't just a young woman. She was a virgin, the virgin-born Son of God. Jesus was born of a virgin. If you don't believe that, you will never get saved. You can't be saved if you don't believe that. What would you be saved from? Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, preacher, that's a biological impossibility. Why don't you think about this? Go back in the book of Genesis, and God made a man without a man or a woman. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it a little while. God made a man without man or woman. If God could make a man without man or woman, God would have no problem making a man without a man. Amen? Hey, the Holy Ghost of God overshadowed Mary, and she conceived, and that thing that she conceived in her womb was the Son of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's something to this thing, aren't you? Praise God, I'm glad that we're on the inside looking out tonight. And so Jesus was born outside of that slave market of sin, so therefore He qualifies to buy slaves. Praise God, He is qualified to buy me, amen? And that's what I am. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I've been purchased, I've been bought, and so have you. If you're saved tonight, you've been redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but beloved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He purchased us out of the slave market of sin. He bought us with His own blood. Hallelujah. Just like you and I go down the store and purchase something, buy something, Jesus came into this world and He purchased us. Praise God, I'm a purchased possession tonight. Amen. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm His purchased possession. He must have loved us a lot to have bought us. He didn't buy us because of what we were. He bought us because of who He is. Amen. He bought us because of who He is. I love that verse in John 3:16. And if you begin to understand this doctrine of the blood, and beloved, listen, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it gives so much more power to John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Aren't you glad that God put that "whosoever" in there? That meant that I could get in. And praise God, back there a little over 50 years ago, I got in at the door. Hallelujah. Came through the door and was saved by God's marvelous grace. That's where my wife got in. That's where my children got in. That's where my grandchildren's got in. Hallelujah. That's where you got in if you're saved by God's grace tonight. You came through the door. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." So, number one, the blood of Jesus is the basis of redemption. Number two, the blood of Jesus Christ is the basis of justification. I want you to think about Romans 5 and 9. You need to mark that down, Romans 5 and 9. This is a precious verse. "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." You know, folks, there is a terrible day coming on this earth. I'm telling you, there is a terrible day, a day like this world has never seen. There's going to come a time, beloved, listen, when the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world. But I'm glad for those of us that are saved. Praise God, it'll never touch us. Amen. Listen to that verse again in Romans 5 and 9. "Much more than being now justified by His blood." Justified, He said. "We shall be saved from wrath through Him." We're justified through His blood. Justification always means vindication. Justification always looks at salvation from the standpoint of God. Hallelujah. His righteousness is credited to our account at the point of salvation. I'm glad, listen, that God doesn't see me wrapped in this human flesh tonight. But God sees me wrapped in the righteousness of the Son of God. Remember back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had so sinned against God, and God came in the cool of the evening looking for Adam and Eve, and He cried, "Adam, where art thou?" You know, Adam and Eve, they had sinned against God. They had taken that forbidden fruit, and now they're not where God meant for them to be. They're not at God's appointed place. They're now hid off back in the woods. You know what they're doing back there in the woods? They're back there sewing together fig leaves to cover up their nakedness. God says, "How do you know you're naked?" You see, they didn't know any nakedness until they ate of that forbidden fruit, until they disobeyed God, until they listened to the lie of the devil. And so God now takes the initiative, and God goes and slays some little innocent lambs, sheds their blood. Innocent lambs. Sheds their blood. Brings their coats. Brings their skins. And clothes Adam and Eve in the coats of those slain animals. Those animals are a type of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, that went to that cross of Calvary. And there was slain. Listen, beloved. Our sins nailed Him to the cross. He was slain there on that cross. He was God's Lamb dying for our sin. He took our sin upon Him that He may put His righteousness upon us. And I'll tell you the very moment. I remember back there a little over 50 and a half years now, headed toward my 51st year in the middle of September of this year. Beloved, I remember when I bowed on my knees in my back room and I said, "God, as much as I know how, I ask You to forgive me and come into my heart," like this little gospel track said. And God forgave my sin. He came into my heart. I'll tell you, at that moment, God took the righteousness of Christ and clothed me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's how God has looked at me ever since. When God looks down from heaven at me now, You know how he sees me in Christ. Amen. He sees me in Christ. You know, I got this little old cassette here. This will illustrate, I think, what I'm trying to say. On this cassette tape here, there's a picture here of the Andersons, Brother Anderson and his wife. But between Brother Anderson and his wife in that picture, there's a covering here. Hear that? Now, in order for me to see Brother and Sister Anderson, I look through this covering, and whatever I see in them, I see in this covering. Got to see it in this covering first. When God looks at me, I'm in Christ. And God looks at me, He has to see me in Christ. And so, what do you think He sees in Christ? He sees perfection in Christ. So when He looks at me and you, what do you think He sees? He sees perfection. Praise God. Listen, I'm glad tonight that God doesn't see us like we see each other. But God sees us in Christ. We're justified. We've been vindicated, hallelujah, in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's His blood that has justified us and vindicated us by His precious blood. When God looks at us now, He sees us as we are in Christ. I want you to think about that. His righteousness is credited to our account at the point of salvation. Hey, that's what God has done for us. He took our account and took it to the cross. The wages of sin is death. He paid for our sin at the cross. And then He took what Jesus did at the cross and He put it on our account. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to become a child of God. God takes what Christ did on that cross and He puts that on your account. Hallelujah. We see each other's account different. We see faults and failures and flaws in each other. But I'm telling you, God doesn't see us that way. He doesn't see us that way. He sees us in His Son. That's called imputation. Imputed to us at the point of salvation is what we call plus righteousness. God the Father has plus righteousness. And now God looks at our plus righteousness and says, vindicated. Hallelujah. Vindicated. Now that's justification by faith. God looks at you through the righteousness of Jesus Christ and says, justified. 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 When old Satan, that accuser, comes and he goes before God and says, look down there, Andrew Kerrigan. Look at what he said. Look at his attitude. Look at his action. Look what he done. And Jesus just stands up and the Father sees those nail scars in his hand and looks back at Satan and says, justified. Justified. The devil says, what are you going to do about old Don Harmon? God said, he ain't going to do nothing. He's justified. What are you going to do with that Bobby Kerrigan? Nothing. He's justified. She's justified. Justified in Christ. Praise God. If that doesn't make you want to have a spell, nothing will, don't they? In God's sight, you're now, get this, in God's sight, you're now just as good as Jesus is. I'm not blaspheming either. I'm talking about justified. Amen. Do you not know that we are now sons of God? Right now, we're sons of God. We're not going to be. I remember when I was growing up, I'd hear people talk about, you know, when you died and went to heaven, you know, you become a child of God. If you ain't a child of God here, you ain't ever going to get to heaven. You remember what John said over in 1 John chapter 3? He said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be like Him. Now, we're not all going to look like Him, but we're all going to be like Him. You ever heard somebody say, that boy just like his daddy? Or that girl just like her mama? Well, that could be said about every one of us, about our Heavenly Father. You know, about our elder brother. Hey, just like my elder brother. Listen, Jesus is our brother now. He's our elder brother. Hallelujah. We're sons of God. Justified. Vindicated. In the sight of God. Justified. Vindicated. Isn't that a blessing? To know that we've been justified. To know we've been vindicated. Now, how can we have the righteousness of God at the moment of salvation? It's possible because on that cross, every sin of ours was poured out on Christ and was judged, and at that second, God credits us with Christ's perfect righteousness. Hallelujah. At the very moment when Jesus died on that cross, He paid for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Past, present, and future. It was all poured on Him then. No wonder He cried, my God, Thou hast forsaken me. Jesus died the death of every one of us. He paid the penalty for every sin that we ever committed. You think about all the sins that we committed, and every one of those sins had a death sentence on it. And Jesus took every one of our sins, every sin of the whole world, past, present, and future, on Himself on that cross, and died on that cross, paying the sin debt. That's the story that we got to tell to a lost world out there. You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to meet God in judgment. Hey, you can be forgiven of your sin. Christ died for you on the cross. He paid for your sin. The ticket's already been paid for. Say, preacher, why in the world do people still live in sin? Same reason you and I did. We were in darkness. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were blinded by sin. I'll tell you, I praise God for the day that the gospel came knocking on my heart's door. Praise God for that day when that man put that little gospel track in my hand. Praise God for that day on a Wednesday afternoon when the Holy Ghost of God pricked my heart to go and find that little gospel track and read it. And when I read it, God pricked my heart, and God brought conviction to my heart, and God shut me up to Himself. And it was as though there was nobody but me and God. And there I was, condemned. And I cried, God, have mercy on me. And God did have mercy on me. Oh, God, forgive me. God did forgive me. Oh, God, save me. God did save me. Hallelujah. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, picked me up, brought me up out of that horrible pit. Praise God. I'm telling you, I ain't never forgot that. Amen. And I ain't never got over it. Amen. I'm still excited about it now. Of course, you couldn't tell that, but I'm still excited about that. God credits us with Christ's perfect righteousness. Isn't that marvelous? I've got about 7 minutes to eight, and I want to bring this, get in this third point, but I ain't gonna have time. But I want to read you the two verses. I'm just reading you these verses about this third point. The blood of Jesus Christ is the basis of cleansing from sin. Did you get that? The basis of cleansing from sin. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. That's significant. Revelation 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood.
I've been washed. Brother Duckett, he washed me, washed away my sins in his own blood. That's what I was having reference to earlier when I said he took his red blood and washed this black sinner and made him white as snow. Isn't that great? Wonderful. Jackie, you need to go. You and Candy. Brandon. These are folks who ride the buses and do the vans, so I'll have to let them out a few minutes early. But aren't you glad that you've been redeemed? Aren't you glad you've been justified? Aren't you glad that you've been vindicated? The next time the devil comes up and has anything to say to you, why don't you just say, wait a minute. I've been bought. I've been bought. Not with the goods of this world, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Not only have I been redeemed, but I've been justified. And I haven't been vindicated by the Baptist Church or the preacher down in Packlet or over in Spartanburg and down in Union, wherever. But the God of glory, the one who created you, oh boy, vindicated me. That's more than ever be said of you. I'll tell you, about the time you get there, you turn around, he ain't going to be there. Amen. He don't care for you to argue with him as long as it's your argument. But when you go to give him what God says, he can't take that. And he'll be gone before you know it. Amen. He tried that on Jesus, didn't he? Sure did. After Jesus had been tempted and out there in that wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, he came to him three different occasions. And here's how Jesus dealt with him, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. And after that, the Bible says that he left him for a little season. He ain't going to be gone long. He's going to be off trying to hatch up some other way to get at you. But I'll tell you, just give him that word. Give him the word. Give him the word. Saved by the blood. Amen. My sins are gone because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand.